CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by
My Little Pony, My Little Pony.
Whining? I am not whining. I am complaining. Do you want to hear whining?
Pump the brakes for a second. I don't come out here and whine every week. That's not whining. This is whining.
Oh, this harness is too tight. It's going to chafe. Can't you loosen it? Oh, it hurts and it's so nasty. Why didn't you clean it first? It's going to leave a stain. The wagon's getting heavy. Why do I have to pull it?
Why does Christian keep coming out douched in so much orange fake tan? Doesn't he know it's HDTV? And why? Why does Mark Henry's breath smell like funnel cake stuffed with dog crap?
Do you know you are my very best friends?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have now returned to our usual level of insanity. And I think I just heard a facepalm. Which is
though
more
you
than
heard me stuffing laughter.
But yes, indeed, this is the 20% cooler edition of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Hammond, and I just killed Josh Henninger.
Your life, Josh Henninger, brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. Fuck Boise State.
Let's see, and then on the other side of the microphone, we have our resident Q, Mr. Brian Henninger.
Hit him with the folding chair. And I'll hit you again.
And on a personal note, I can now honestly say after 8 months, hit me with a job offer.
Really?
Really?
Yes, I have a job. I start Monday morning.
What?
Sorry.
Lucky.
You know I feel lucky. So today's been a very good day.
So what will you be getting into or out of?
Well, I'm going to be working for a company that does collections on delinquent student loans. And the company is extremely reputable. I don't want to say anything else, but they are a good company. In case anyone out there may be in that position, I don't want to anger any of our potential listeners.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, Nikki. And, you know, you guys have been real supportive of me on this show, and my work schedule shouldn't affect my ability to be a guest on the program, but I'll let you know.
Well, do keep us posted, and, of course, best of luck, and we need to get Mr. Henninger a job.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it will be a job, not a job. So, with all that out of the way, I've got a long list of news that we need to work with. Let's see. There's been some promoting going on for some of our principal players at Night of Champions, as Triple H and CM Punk have both been part of individual interviews. Hunter interviewed at Movie Phone, and Punk did a radio interview. I have not listened to either interview, but there are some points in there that make you wonder, work or shoot? So I'm going to start with Hunter's interview, Movie Phone. One of his big points was someone had asked him a question about MMA and should WWE evolve towards the way MMA is. And he essentially responded, why should we evolve? If anybody needs evolving, it's MMA. Ouch, ouch. So, Brian, work or shoot?
You know, I'm inclined to think it's a little bit of both. I mean, Triple H is not going to say, yeah, our company needs to change unless it's really, really bad. He's not going to say that. So I think it's partially at work. But we all know JR is obsessed with MMA. He watches every pay-per-view. We know CM Punk is obsessed with MMA. A lot of wrestlers are really into mixed martial arts. So I know he's obviously aware of it, but honestly, I want to say it's more work than shoot, because again, Triple H is not going to say anything that bad about his company deliberately.
All right. Josh, work or shoot?
I also agree with Brian here. You do have a little bit of shoot, as in more or less, yeah, companies need to evolve in order to, you know, survive this day and age. It's more or less the survival of the fittest. Survive or just become another victim.
Like they say in that movie Moneyball, adapt or die.
Yes. But it's also plenty of work. As Brian said, Triple H is not going to go out there and say, hey, my company is shit. Hey, I'm being downright honest. Especially since Trips is the acting COO and more or less is top five in terms of company-wide. Or pretty much top five. Yeah, top five in the pecking order company-wide.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't badmouth his own company, unless he wants to see money go bye-bye.
Well, it's not necessarily badmouthing. What they actually do have an interesting point, the fact that he's making it sound like WWE doesn't need to evolve at all, this coming from the ex-head honcho of Evolution itself.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I had to do that. It's workish in the sense that Hunter is representing status quo within the WWE, mm-hmm. but it's shootish, as you guys said, because he's not going to badmouth his company, per se, and he's definitely going to put his company over.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I just found something that Punk directly responded to that very interview.
Yeah, he had a couple of interesting comments to that.
Yeah. Because I just found this going on the Twitter stream.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk responded to this, that UFC needs to evolve more than WWE. Ridiculous. Laugh out loud ignorance. Unreal. Out of touch. If you don't evolve, you die.
So, I hate to say it, but Punk just tweeted us proof that this interview might have also been scheduled by KFBE.
Yes. Playing all the great hits from the 1960s to today.
There you go. All right, now the radio interview that Punk did for WEDG, which is an actual radio station, he talked about a lot of things. They asked him a bit about his initial shoot, the first time he got his microphone cut while he was sitting at the top of the stage saying hello to Colt Cabana and my dear Uncle Paul. The fact that he was speaking from the heart. He changed his mind about signing or not. He decided to re-sign because he's like, now wait a minute, how do I change things if I'm at home sitting on my couch? The best part of the interview to me was how he talked about the IWC, which unfortunately all three of us are indirectly a part of.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks of the smarks in general, pretty much the number twos and the number threes of the IWC world, and if anybody needs a definition of that, I'll be happy to supply it. Number ones in the IWC are the guys that are willing to sit down and actually have decent wrestling discussion and value opinions. Number twos are the guys that are very steadfast in their opinions and might not listen to you. Number threes are the ones you want kicked off the message board.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So, you know, just for our clarification, Punk is pretty much talking about the IWC in general, but I see Punk as pretty much somewhere between a number one and number two. He can be insufferable, but he does not remain insufferable. He lists himself as a smark. He believes that the IWC should be listened to, even if we're wrong. But he's not going to go out there just to please them. So, with some of that in mind, Josh, work or shoot?
For this one, it's once again a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. Because, well, of course, you're not going to say something out and out that's going to be bad for the company, but he does also provide some rather poignant grains of truth that the company needs to look at a new direction. And, yes, they're doing that now, but they still need to do more because for every great thing they've got Randy Orton. Sorry, I just like smacking the man.
No. You're not the only one. Remember, he's somebody that I just kind of shake my head whenever he's on my screen. If he must be doing something right if he's making me root for Mark Henry.
Yeah, he still plays that mid-80s heel. It's 2011.
And we also would like him to learn how to read.
Yes. Read a book. Read a motherfucking book.
Or at least learn how to read a freaking cue card. So, hopefully, we're going to get other people that deserve their mic time. Because I'm sure everybody kind of shakes their head every time they see Randy Orton being handed a microphone, knowing that he still doesn't quite know how to use it.
Ninja, please.
Here's somebody who knows how to use a microphone. Because Awesome Truth blew me away. Who watched SmackDown?
I did.
I only caught the half of it because I was flipping between that and the Boise State-Toledo game.
Okay.
And they just scored. Fuck.
So Awesome Truth decided to just pretty much blow the doors off Road Dogg Kate Quick style with a wonderful, wonderful entrance tonight to come out to their mat to a singles match where R-Truth was going to fight Evan Bourne. I would have loved to have heard the commentary at the table since Miz had a headset and Kofi had a headset, but unfortunately Michael Cole was sitting there.
Yeah, that's a sad thing, you know?
So
screw him.
Not even with a rusty chainsaw, Josh.
I would with a rusty chainsaw. Let's see him get tetanus.
Do we have something for that?
Burn!
So, but the entrance that they did, like I said, right, it's very reminiscent of Road Dogg K-Quick. R-Truth had completely retooled What's Up into a great big middle finger to the Canada crowd. It was fun to listen to. It was actually fun listening to Miz try to jump in on it, but I'm not a racist, but Miz is a white boy, and white boy don't got no rhythm.
Time for our remix, as he put it.
Yes, and actually, like I said, it was quite good.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and the two of them goofing around backstage at Raw, you know, they're helping along with Air Boom, Flight Club, whatever you want to call Kofi and Evan, at least lay the groundwork for getting this tag division back up and running where it needs to be. So let's see. What other wonderful stuff? Oh, yes, other fine microphone individuals. Hey, Josh, you mentioned that somebody hit the FCW name generator and got it right this time.
Yes, somebody hit the FCW name generator and scored, well, not a jackpot, but at least three cherries in a row. And we got ourselves a brand new person coming to FCW in short order. A guy who we've been waiting for developmental for four long years. That man is Claudio Castagnoli!
Hey! Oh, wait. But then the FCW name generator said, wait, that is not his name.
Yep.
So we went over.
Name?
His
oh,
name?
Go ahead.
Well, we walked over and we kicked the machine. And it spat out a name.
And this name is quite interesting because it's not terrible.
By the way, Nikki, should the machine be smoking like that?
Is it blue or white smoke?
Just white smoke this time.
Oh, okay, no, that's good. That's good. If it's blue smoke, if it's the magic blue smoke, then it's dead. But it's the white
that
smoke. It'll recover.
We got ourselves new pope.
Josh, please give us, please take out the sheet of paper and announce the new name.
right. Ugh, come on. Mm. All right, here we go. The new name is Antonio Cesaro.
Yay! Oh, sorry.
Hmm.
And
no, that
he
ain't
has,
too bad.
No, it's not. And he still billed himself as very European.
Mm-hmm.
And so, fingers are crossed that he's going to be coming up pretty soon. And it's my understanding that if he comes up, he's going to have Chris Hero right behind him, depending on what the machine decides to do to him.
Yeah. From what I heard, it's a matter of days before Hero gets signed.
Ooh.
So and we could be seeing it by the end of this coming week.
That's some good news for me.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
Only thing is that because they've just signed the Kings of Wrestling, how many conniption fits is Jim Cornette going to have?
He's going to have a couple, and then he's going to go find... He's going to do exactly... And Corny's going to shoot me for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. He's going to do exactly what my dear Uncle Paul did when somebody left his brand. When Vince McMahon signed away Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, now, Jim Cornette, are you going to curl up and die? No, you're going to say, screw Claudio and Chris Hero, I'll find somebody to take their place.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you did when Daniel Bryan decided that he needed to come to the big stage. Did you weep? Did you bang your head against your tennis racket? No, you said, screw Daniel Bryan, and Michael Cole took you up on it.
Damn.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And anybody who can name the promo that is from and who he was really talking about, you get a gold star.
No gold stars for me tonight.
Brian, want to take a guess?
Let me see. He's probably talking about Public Enemy.
Wrong.
Shane Douglas?
I'll give you a hint. This actually was in WWE.
Oh, Bret the Hitman Hart. God damn. Thank you, whoever was in the chat.
Wrong!
Well,
you're wrong,
too.
You're all wrong.
Yeah. Whoa, voice broke.
You're all wrong. The answer is Chris Benoit.
Ah.
This was a SmackDown shortly after Royal Rumble 2004 when Benoit jumped to Raw. And Vince started yelling at Paulie for losing Benoit.
Mm.
And so Paulie said, screw Chris Benoit, I will find someone to take his place. Although, admittedly, okay, no, I better take that back. You are partially right, chat room, and I believe that's Jason. Part of that promo was to Vince when Bret Hart decided to leave to WCW. Did you curl up and die? No, you said screw Bret Hart, and boy did you. So yes, half points to the chat room. So, with that in mind, yes, I am looking forward to both of them coming up.
As am I, because, you know, we had this discussion last time on here. If they're looking to build the tag division and make them something special, you could do a whole lot worse than Kings of Wrestling.
True. You know, we could do better if your microphone would stop popping.
My microphone?
Yeah, you are popping in and out.
Huh. Am I okay now?
No, you're even worse.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll disconnect and I'll call back in.
I'll be watching.
All right.
All right.
So, he'll be right back.
Okay.
Now, let me see. Let's see. Other fine microphone explosions would include one that's probably going to go off in Madison Square Garden this November.
Yep.
As mine and Mr. Block's vain attempts to try to get into Survivor Series this year, as this turned into an instant sellout even before the news broke that The Rock and John Cena are going to be working together.
For the first and last time. Well, barring that whole Nexus thing that happened a few months ago.
And that kind of doesn't count.
I'm back now, guys. Can you hear me okay?
You sound much better.
Okay, must have just had a bad connection or something.
We were just talking about Rock and John Cena tagging at Survivor Series, and unfortunately, I nor Mr. Block were capable of getting our hands on tickets for Survivor Series.
Well, we feel your pain.
I tried, because it's the Garden. And after going to Rumble 08, I would certainly love to actually get to set foot in the Garden again.
You know, I have a little bucket list of things I'd love to do before, you know. And two of the things I want to do is I want to see a football game at Lambeau Field, and I want to see a wrestling event at Madison Square Garden.
You must. Start saving your pennies now, because the speculation's already open that WrestleMania 30 is going to be at the Garden.
Well, it would make sense, because WrestleMania 10 was there and 20 was there, so...
Right. So, you might want to start saving your pennies now, because that'd be a heck of a way to cross it off your list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, I wouldn't mind getting a NFL football game under my belt, but I got to work on that. Okay. We are not talking football, we are talking wrestling. Let's see.
Yeah.
We have call-ups, we have reappearances, and we have some stuff that's kind of giving away things at Night of Champions, unfortunately. Word got out that Kevin Nash is going to be at Night of Champions.
And also, word is strong that Shawn Michaels is going to be there as well.
Shawn had hinted to that, the fact that he tweeted something along the lines about last minute events, but of course, go ahead.
The picture with Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Right, what are you looking at?
Secret lovers.
No. That picture is just showing you the longest weekly episodic bromance in the history of the WWE.
Yep.
For some reason, I have that old Ronnie Millsap song, Daytime Friends and Nighttime Lovers, stuck in my head now. Thanks a lot.
Ah!
I'm going to send you a link after the show, Brian. Remind me.
Okay.
Of a Scrubs music to a DX video. I'll just let your brain wrap around that.
Oh, okay then.
I've seen it.
I know you have, Josh. So, I'd like to speculate about that, but I want to save that for Pick'ems, because that's gonna there's gonna be a lot to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some talk that Vince is going to be back on TV. That's how I kind of feel about it, because I would rather keep the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, in charge.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And we only need one asshole at a time on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You're the one. Were you the one grousing there, Josh, or was that Brian?
As me.
Okay, so you. I think we're all in agreement here. We none of us want to see Vince back on television.
No, no. I'm starting to actually warm up to Trips. I mean, I know that not everyone likes him, but I think he's an improvement over McMahon. I can actually believe him as a COO.
I'm an unabashed Triple H fan to begin with, and I like the nuance of his character, that he's new to this gig and he's not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He's really not comfortable in this position. He's trying, and that's probably what's got him even more frustrated, and that's why it felt so natural for him to slide into this position where he's butting heads with Punk and butting heads with Nash, and probably this close to punching Johnny Ace's lights out, which will probably happen on Sunday, but I'm not supposed to talk about that yet.
You mean he's going to punch out Super Dave Osborne?
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be a hell of a stunt.
Yeah. Well, but if that happens, how is Mike Walden going to become a backstage reporter? By the way, if any of you get those jokes right then, gold star for you.
Mm-hmm. You explained some of that to me the other night.
Yeah, back in the 80s, there was a show in Canada called Bazaar, and for some reason, there was a segment on there that parodied Evel Knievel called Super Dave Osborne. It's played by a comedian by the name of Bob Einstein, who's the son of a famous comedian here in America back in the 60s. And so, excuse me. So basically, they did this bit where he had his stunt coordinator, who was a Japanese man named Fuji Hakaido, mm-hmm. and a guy like the man on the street who always wore these ugly plaid sport coats named Mike Walden. Well, for reasons that no one understands, the Super Dave bits took off here in America, and they became his own show called the Super Dave Osborne Show in the 80s, and those characters came over.
And I think it took off just because it was a spot-on parody of Evel Knievel.
Yeah, because Knievel, it's sad when Knievel's career kind of started to go downhill, he was doing a lot less dangerous stunts, and he was still crashing. And so I think I think everyone knew that his time was up, and so he handed the business over to his son, Captain Robbie Knievel, who is admittedly a lot better than him.
So let's see. What else have I got in here? Since we're talking about we were talking momentarily about honchos and high muckamucks, Vince, you need to stay in your office, and you need to stay on the phone with, I believe it was J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've seen the advertisements for the WWE Network. Apparently, Vince didn't have all that kind of cash handy. So he took out a nine-figure loan.
Wow.
$200 million to get this, to try to get this network off the ground. Could he be, you know, that's not chump change.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
especially.
Go ahead, Josh.
Especially with the whole, how many viewers are you going to get and how much are you going to charge a month? Because if you charge too much a month, you're going to see everyone go bye-bye. And that $200 million is going to come back to bite him in the ass.
Now, I'm trying to remember, and I should have researched this a little bit more, Josh, if you know this, or Brian, if you know this, feel free to jump in. Wasn't there some sort of tie-in with G4/Tech TV that, you know, might at least get him on the dial so that we don't have to...
There were wild rumors, but that's about it.
The rumor that I had heard was that they were going to buy out G4 TV and turn it into the WWE Network.
Personally, after what Tech TV did to G4, it's a mercy killing.
Or what G4 did to Tech TV should be the better answer.
Granted, but essentially the two of them got together, and it's just yuck.
Yeah.
I remember when they launched. They launched back in, I want to say, 2002. All they did for a whole week was show people playing Pong.
Actually, that's kind of funny.
It was. And they were good at first. They had some great shows. They had Cheat with Corey Rouse. They had Portal, which is a phenomenal program. But somewhere along the line, they decided to try to make themselves Spike TV Lite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all cops and cheaters with Attack of the Show and X-Play left.
Speaking of Tech.
May I have your attention, please?
We
just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my TI-83 calculator.
Ah!
That's going to take a minute to load. Hang on. Because he's only going to be able to send me about 12 characters at a time. And if he sends too many, it will come out with an E. And if you get that, you're as old as I am. And I quote, "It seems that you guys are meandering away from what this show is mainly about, and that's wrestling. Since we've got a pay-per-view coming up, I'm willing to tell you guys to sit back, gather your thoughts, and tell Statboy to gather his spreadsheet."
Gathered already.
Oh, okay, so you're ready. But I don't think the general manager realized that. But I am going to do him the favor, and we're going to have to take a couple minutes here. So if you guys will excuse us, we're going to pay some bills and shill some product. You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net on the CLW 83 network. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the bowling chair.
I have to hit you again.
On the CLW 83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Football is back and Locked In is on the move. Join Jim Williams and Rob O'Connor every Thursday night for Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com. They'll preview and analyze the biggest college and pro football games of the week, tell you about everything going on at WeDon'tLose.com, and maybe even roll the tape on a play or two. Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com, every Thursday night, all season long on the CLW 83 Network. Check Facebook.com/CLW83Network for the time to tune in.
Hi, we can't tell you what we have for the new season of the CLW 83 Night Shift this fall, since we have no idea what we're doing yet. Instead, here are some of the things that we know we won't have for the new season. Stupid Petrix, Dumb Viewer Mail Segments, Ron Howard, Howard Stern, Howard Hessman, William Peterson, Peter Marshall, Marshall Fields, Mrs. Peacock, Wombat.
The CLW 83 Night Shift, returning October 29th only on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Strawberries. Jim Williams doing the do-si-do. Leprechauns rubbing peanut butter on elephants. Mud wrestling. Video game.
Roll the tape on this.
We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
It's actually going to be a very boring show this week. But wait!
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
Well, with that said, we should actually end the show.
Boy, LeBron, what the heck were you thinking a year ago?
And the Facebook app interface is a really good way to keep yourself relevant and to even make a few bucks off of it if you can.
Yes, I Facebooked my Twitter and then got a restraining order thereafter.
Let's boogie tonight. I'm surprised you got away with this on YouTube.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, no, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, this is Carl Chenier, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
And we're back. Now, before we get into talking about the Night of Champions, I was reminded that I had not given TNA its proper 2 minutes. So I will do that real quick with their most famous former employee and chronic attention getter, Mr. Matthew Moore Hardy.
Mom, do we have to?
It's only for a couple of minutes, dear. Just be good, and we'll get through this quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As Mr. Hardy has wrecked another car, picked up another DUI, has another court date, and I wonder if Jeff Hardy's looking at him going, dude, stay out of my stuff. But I'm just going to throw this out there. I said this a couple of weeks ago, that Matt, after seeing what happened to Jeff, is going to start on this big downward spiral. And I think I'm on the right track. I don't want to be right about this, Josh.
I don't either.
And Brian, I remember the time when Matt was considered the sane brother.
Yeah, so did I. What happened, man?
I don't know.
Same whoring.
What's that?
I mean, what is it? Is it the Bolivian marching powder or something? I mean, what?
I think the fame got to his head, and it got to him badly. And he craves attention. And he still craves attention. He's all gimme, 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 gimme. And therein lies the problem. I know it's dumb, but therein lies the problem. He's so wanting attention that he has pretty much screwed up his entire life.
And unfortunately, unless he realizes he has a problem, and ditto for Jeff, This ain't going to get any better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh?
Oh?
Who knocked? Go away.
Oh, no, that was me. I had a bug on a plate. I had to get rid of it.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
So, I think that's about all the attention that I'm going to give him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got something a little bigger and a little more important, and that's for this Sunday. And that is the one night that WWE actually does something nice and actually has all the belts defended on the same pay-per-view. Now, Night of Champions, unfortunately, had a very bad start. The first year, it was Night of Champions retaining, I believe, the first NOC. The only title that changed hands that night was the women's title. I attended half of last year's Night of Champions. Funny story. I get a call Sunday afternoon. Now, remember, Night of Champions is in Chicago. This is a six-hour drive in good weather and good traffic. I get a call at 2 o'clock in Columbus to meet somebody in Indianapolis, which is about halfway, to try to get up to the show, claiming that he can make it, and the fact that the seats were free. I'm like, okay. Plus, I'm gonna be going to a show in Indiana the following day anyway. I'll just get a hotel. No big deal. Drive to Indianapolis, leave my car somewhere, jump into my buddy's HHR. We got there after the women's match. I had missed Ms. Bryan, which was half the reason I was going. Granted, I got to see the six-pack challenge and one of the Undertaker-Kane matches, which was a fun storyline from last year. But, man, I think the one thing that did make up for it was that after the show, we did manage to get down to floor level. Our seats were lower level, pretty much on the corner from announce side and spit side. We got to go down to floor level, and I got to shake hands with Mark Eaton, who's one of the floor managers for WWE. But man, I wanted to see that. I wanted to see Ms. Bryan match. Anyway, they've managed to twist my arm into getting this pay-per-view. Josh, are you going down to Bowling Green to see it?
I'm no longer even remotely close to Bowling Green. I'm 120 miles away from there now.
My bad.
Yeah, I'm now no longer living in Toledo. I live now back in my hometown of Greenville, which is a good distance from the next place that has the, blast zones, because that's in Dayton. And I don't want to go to Dayton.
And to a point, I don't blame you. Although, if you can scare it up, SmackDown next week is going to be at the EJ Nutter Center.
Yeah, I know. DJ's already told me about the Sheamus deal and Vandalia. I won't be making anything because I am broke.
Fair enough.
And I don't want to ask parents or anyone else for money.
No, I understand. Brian, will you be seeing the pay-per-view?
I won't be seeing it live because Sunday I'm going to be in Knoxville for the Tennessee Valley Fair.
Awesome.
And the reason why I'm going is they're having a Knoxville Legends Wrestling show there at 4 o'clock in the Livestock Arena. If you are in the area of East Tennessee, make a trip to come Sunday. This should be a good show. The main event is going to be Bob and Brad Armstrong versus Tommy and Davey Rich.
That does sound pretty good. That's a little out of my way, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know you're in the land of 10,000 lakes and 100,000% humidity.
No, to be honest, the humidity here is not bad.
Good
and in fact, the weather actually feels like fall. 60s in the day, 50s at night. I can open up the apartment. But that is neither here nor there. We've got 7 or 8 matches to talk about, don't we, Stat Boy?
I need to double check WWE.com because according to Wikipedia, all I seen was 6.
Okay. Because, let's see.
Let me double check that for you, though, because I may be wrong. Yep, there has been a seventh added, finally.
Right. So, I will let you dictate the order of the matches, and we will talk about them and see who picks what.
Right. All right. We've got ourselves. I'll go ahead and pick the most recent match signed to the card first, and that will be... Sorry, excuse me. For the Intercontinental Championship, we've got Cody Rhodes versus Ted DiBiase.
Now, this match, as noted, does have a little bit of build up in the fact that Cody was trying to quote unquote help Ted, but that's been a messy little breakup, and Ted finally got his hands on Cody tonight, if only briefly. And there were paper bags involved. So, Stat Boy, what do you think?
Considering that right now Cody hasn't had the belt for too long after winning it over Big Zeke, I don't think he's going to give it up this quickly. I would assume this is going to go on a little bit longer. And with this, I will pick dashing Cody Rhodes, even though he may not be dashing anymore.
All right. Brian, what do you got?
It could go either way. There's really no reason to take the belt off of Cody at this point, unless they're trying to do a Ted DiBiase face turn, which, considering his gimmick, would be pretty hard to do. I honestly believe the WWE is getting behind Cody to a certain extent, so I think Cody's going to win it.
Okay.
I will also take Cody strictly on the momentum rule, because DiBiase chased Cody away in the opening segment tonight on SmackDown. So I also agree that this is too early in the feud. So yeah, Cody's retaining.
And just a note on the our chat room here at blogtalkradio.com/CLW83network that Jason Block has picked Cody Rhodes to also retain.
All right.
For the next match, we got ourselves the only match here that is going to be more than two participants in it, where you don't usually expect two participants. You get where I'm trying to angle it?
You're speaking the U.S. title match.
Yes, I am. The Fatal 4-Way for the United States Championship. Champion Dolph Ziggler will face off against Jack Swagger and two other schlubs.
Hey!
I'm kidding. They will be facing off against Alex Riley and Stupid Sexy Jomo.
That kind of that is so much sexy, it's stupid. But that is neither here nor there, and I reiterate, if Jomo and Jackman are on the screen at the same time Monday night, somebody else might have to host. Brian, your call.
It'll take you a week, because it'll take you all day to come down from the ceiling.
Oh, boy. Who you got?
Okay, I don't think Ziggler's going to retain. I think the bloom has sort of come off his rose a little bit. My theory is that with the help of Vicky Guerrero, Swaggy is going to get the championship, and they're going to try to rebuild him because they did de-push him a little bit, rumored because of his attitude problems, because he got a big head when he got the title real quick. And so I think Guerrero is going to help. The Cougar is going to help her latest prey get the belt. So I'm going to pick Jack Swagger.
Fair enough, Statboy.
All right. I can rule out one person immediately, and that is that random schlub that shouldn't be there. Hi, Alex Riley. How are you doing?
Alex does not need to be in any kind of belt match right now.
Yeah.
And my button's not.
John Morrison.
Sorry.
All right. John Morrison, I really don't see him here. I see him in that upper mid-card role still. More or less, what I consider the true number two face of the company, or at least Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves me to Vicky Guerrero and her clientele. And to be honest, Dolph needs to start moving up the card as well. Jack needs this belt like a fat kid needs cake. The All-American American wins his title and finally puts to rest that damn eagle.
Aw, come on. I miss the Soaring Eagle myself, but I agree that an All-American American Kennedy needs to be carrying the U.S. belt. Ziggler's ready to move up. Jomo is between storylines right now, so I'm not sure what they want to do with him. I don't think he's in the doghouse anymore, but I also believe that we haven't seen much of him because he's not 100% yet. And Alex Riley, I really think he is just a warm body in there, because Alex Riley winning the belt,
Ninja, please,
not going to happen. We put the belt on Swagger. Ziggler loses Vicky, but will actually have his moving up if he doesn't get Billy Gunned by his Billy Gunn praise.
Billy bitch cakes.
Ha ha ha. But yes, Mr. Swagger needs that belt.
All right, and that is a sweep. Jason Block also states the All-American Jack Swagger will win by costing Ziggler the belt.
So,
all right, to the tags. Air Boom versus Awesome Truth.
This match is going to be a show stealer.
Yeah,
period.
It will.
I think the automatic winners of this match is the fans.
Yeah, because when your weakest participant is The Miz, and Miz has drastically improved in the last 3 to 4 years, that's saying something.
But what do we do with these shiny gold pennies, Josh?
I say we keep this thing going until we have ourselves a proper tag team that can take it off of either team. The correct answer for me in this case, Air Boom retains, and we see this thing keep going.
Staff Boy, what do you think?
Hi. I just said what I needed to.
Sorry. Brian. Other Henniger, please.
It's okay. You're right. This match is going to steal the show. And it is so good to see the WWE putting faith in the tags again. But as far as who's going to win this match, I think it's going to be Air Boom. Well, I don't like that name. I'm calling them Flight Club, but that's just me.
No, I would have called them the Can-Am Connection.
So, I'm going to throw in on that as well, because not only does this further the feud, since these guys are just getting started in a feud, but
yes,
this gives more fuel to the conspiracy fire that Miz and Truth have bought into.
Exactly.
So Air Boom mm-hmm. has to retain for that. So we've got another sweep, judging from what I see in the chat room.
Yeah. So far, we have been uniform as hell.
So, onward.
This match, though, may break that, because we got ourselves the Divas title match.
Ah, yes.
A SummerSlam rematch, actually, as Kelly Kelly, or Squinty McSquinty Squint, faces off against the Glamazon Beth Phoenix.
Now, regardless of my feelings towards the way Beth and Natty have been dressing, I like what they're saying. I just don't think they're conveying it properly.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Brian, what do you see in this one?
I see Beth Phoenix winning with the help of Natalya Neidhart, and this being the catalyst to them running out every week with the belt and just beating up any other diva that gets in their way, while we wait for Karma to have her baby.
Makes sense. What do you think, Josh?
And, by the way, Jason also says Beth Phoenix. But I've got a little bit of that bug stuck in my head. As in, I'm worried as hell because of one very specific thing.
And that being?
Beth Phoenix in her hometown.
Yeah,
The hometown rule states, you're in your hometown, you're gonna get killed. Kelly wins, and I cry more on the inside.
I'm gonna call an audible here. Kelly wins by DQ.
Mm-hmm.
Either Beth's going to do something wrong, Natty's going to get involved and get caught, or this thing, somebody is going to sit on the schmoz button. This is going to be a great big unholy mess.
Mm-hmm.
But I call Kelly by DQ.
Okay. And now we're starting to get to more or less what could be called a triple main event.
Mm-hmm.
Although truly, it could only be considered a double because one of these, they've been kind of deep pushing in favor of the other feud.
Right.
The first one I'll do is, though, the non-title. Even though it's likely to be a huge main, it's probably going to be the main event of the night.
All right.
CM Punk faces off against Triple H in a no disqualification match. Triple H loses. He is no longer the COO of the WWE.
Now, the mic work for this has been absolutely fantastic, and Hunter is very well rested from the fact that he has not wrestled since April, which some mm-hmm. people might see as a detriment. I'm going to speak up first on this one because I like both guys. But I think for this story to remain interesting, Hunter actually has to win. This will only make Punk rail harder. Josh?
You're dead right. Triple H needs to win. Otherwise, Punk is right about everything, and Triple H will no longer be the COO. Then we'll have Marty Funkhauser become the COO, and me turning the channel will become a regular exercise.
No offense, but nobody wants Super Dave Osborne in charge. Brian?
You know, going into this, I thought maybe CM Punk was going to win. But you're right. For this thing to remain relevant, there has to be a shocker, and I think that for this to stay relevant, Triple H has to go over and see if he makes good on his promise that he's going to fire CM Punk anyway because of all the things he said about his family. The X factor in this is, will Shawn Michaels, as we've said before, Johnny Ace, or Kevin Nash be involved? This match, it's not going to be just these two guys. There's going to be run-ins, trust me.
What are you looking at?
We know you're going to step in, Sean. But since this is a no disqualification match, I can't say that there's going to be a schmoz button pressed.
There's going to be multiple schmoz buttons pressed.
It's going to be wonderfully chaotic. I'm going to enjoy this match. I don't care if there's a whole bunch of run-ins. This would be one of those few times that I would say Russo is right.
I have a theory. I think what's going to happen is Kevin Nash will crawl underneath, will crawl out from underneath the ring, run in, jackknife the hell out of CM Punk, and Triple H will look dumbfounded and not want to do it. But then what I think is going to happen is Kevin Nash will somehow take out Triple H, drape him over CM Punk, and then leave.
Hmm.
And Jason also says Hunter goes over.
I like how he's putting it, too. Hunter goes over, the IWC hates it, but it's the better story, and Punk will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are in archive. We are in archive, yep. So let's do our A-belt stuff.
Right. To the World Heavyweight title. Randy Orton faces off against Mark, somebody gonna get the ice cream, Henry.
I hate to say it, but Mark Henry has really put a lot into this new Angry Black Man character. The Hall of Pain promos are actually quite good. People forget that he would sit there and do poetry off the top of his head back in his Sexual Chocolate days. The man can talk.
Yeah.
Yes, he's limited in the mm-hmm. ring, but so is Randy Orton, and somehow he makes it work. And I'm torn. So I want to hear what you guys got to say. Josh, what do you see?
I'm torn here as well, but I'm not probably as torn as you. Mainly because you've got a guy here who's been with the company since 96. Since just after right before his qualification, or his qualification failure for the Atlanta Olympics in Mark mm-hmm. Henry. A guy who's been there through thick and thin. Or for Mark, through thin and thinner.
Or thicker, thicker.
Yeah. It's a hand. And it's a lady. Or is it a man? I don't know. But it's about time you honor him. Much like you did Kane last year. And give Mark Henry the title. Randy Orton will be fine without it. Henry wins.
Brian, do you agree?
I agree to a certain extent. I want the end of SmackDown with the cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark had a good promo. He Edge said things like, you've been here 15 years, you've not reached up and grabbed the brass ring yet, maybe you're going to be a disappointment. And he said, Edge, the only reason why you're going to walk out of here on your own power is that you're right. And he says that he was told to come out here and smile and be nice and be happy, but that's not him. And he's going to show you the real Mark Henry at NOC. I think Mark's going to get the sympathy title run. And I'm like you. He has been so impressive in the gigantic Destroyer of Worlds gimmick that he's been doing lately. So I think he will get the title.
I want to say that. I so want to say that. But there's one thing you can't ignore from that segment, Brian. Mark Henry finished the segment with momentum. They're not going to take the belt off of Randy Orton. Randy retains.
What do you mean that he finished it off with momentum?
The rule of momentum is whoever is standing tall at the last show before the pay-per-view usually doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And I still believe, even after 15 years, WWE does not have the confidence to put an A belt on Mark Henry. They did it with the A-minus belt in the ECW title a few years ago. But I can't see them. I can't see it, and I want to see it. I so want to see it. But Mark Henry has momentum.
Yeah.
Randy Orton retains.
And I just want to see Randy Orton get a debilitating injury, but that's just me.
Me too, man, because I was watching the Hunter Orton match when Orton fell wrong, and you could hear him on the show audio saying, "I broke my collarbone."
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have one more match.
Yep, and it is the WWE title match. Alberto
okay.
Del Rio defends against John Cena.
Del Rio is one of many, and some would say like every other person who has cashed in money in the bank, that he has cashed in on the helpless, drained, worn-out individual. Does no one remember One Night Stand 2006 and RVD cashing in?
They just want to bury that memory.
I refuse. Anyway,
I know.
John Cena seems to have this huge irrational argument because he has never... He didn't blow up on Punk. He didn't blow up on Edge. He didn't blow up on... he couldn't blow up on Kennedy because Kennedy lost the briefcase. But he's never blown up on anybody else for doing it this way. And it was jarring when he blew up on it initially. To me, it was very jarring. I mean, I guess he's trying to maintain some attention on his storyline, but I hate to say it, John Cena's stuck in the back seat to Hunter and Punk. What do you got, Brian?
You know, it's funny. Del Rio has every tool to be a good heel champion. He's got a great gimmick, the Mexican aristocrat, and he's doing what a heel champion is supposed to do. He's being the coward. He's running away from every fight. And John Cena is being his usual somewhat wacky self, if you can call John Cena wacky at times.
Yes.
But, you know... Okay, here's what I don't understand. If the WWE claims they're going to get away to the... If they're trying to at least give lip service to the fact that maybe they're getting away from the status quo, does that mean that they're probably going to quote-unquote, show everyone how they're doing it, they're going to have Del Rio retain? I don't know. I'm not one of those people who irrationally hates John Cena. I think the guy is a great ambassador for the company. I think his work rate as a wrestler has improved. And I think he has a lot of good qualities in the ring. And the dude moves tons of merchandise. So they're not going to de-push him or anything. But this could honestly go either way. And it would make sense in the storyline. If Del Rio somehow was able to cheat out Cena, it pays the whole homage that he takes the shortcuts and everything. Cena wins, and it proves that Del Rio was a fluke.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, hold on a second. I know how to do this. Got a penny here. It's heads, it's Del Rio. It's tails, it's John Cena. Hold on.
Go for it.
It is heads. So, Del Rio.
All right. Stat Boy, what do you got?
Well, let's go back to last Monday.
Okay.
The 10 o'clock spot.
Mm-hmm.
Where John Cena faced off against John Cena and Bret Hart faced off against Ricardo Rodriguez and Alberto Del Rio.
Yes.
Now, Del Rio ran out on Ricardo, if memory serves me correctly.
Yes.
Yes, it did, after Ricardo took his quote-unquote aphrodisiac.
Yes, the goat milk. Now, I think that this one is going to bite him, well, not yet bite him in the you-know-what, but I bet you, apples to oranges, that Ricardo is going to get involved. He will help Del Rio, and just enough to get Del Rio a retainment. Which means, yes, it'll still prove that Del Rio is kind of a fluke, but Cena doesn't need that brass ring for the 12th time. Ugh, 12.
I'm pretty much inclined to agree. Del Rio needs the belt more than Cena does at this point. Nobody's going to weep that Cena loses this match.
Yeah.
Del Rio, I will give him retaining not only thanks to shenanigans from his dear, dear partner, Ricardo Rodriguez, who, by the way, enjoys the role reversal in FCW as being the mastermind, and Del Rio as his lackey. But I give bonus points to Del Rio just for his crack about illegal Canadians cleaning his house.
And saying that Bret Hart dressed like a homeless person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna give him that too. That was beautiful. Good heel. And as I said, Del Rio needs his belt more than Cena does. And this will keep giving Cena something to do. Plus, it will keep the belt out of Cena's hands. He will not need it through the end of the year. And he especially does not need to be holding it when Rock comes back into town for Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's keep the belt on Del Rio for now. So, the bone of contention, it looks like, is going to be the women's match and the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep.
Oh, and Statboy, just for Jason gave me the rest of his picks since he couldn't hear the rest of the show.
No, he did not. Oh, go ahead then.
No, I have him.
Okay.
He's calling Orton for Orton Henry.
Okay.
Basically on the same vibe that I have, the fact that Henry has been dominating. And he's calling Del Rio retaining thanks to all sorts of shenanigans. And you can quote me on that.
All right. And with that, we have our matches done, our picks done. For those who are in our chat or know who to get a hold of, hi, just send me your pick-ems, I'll deal with them from there.
And if they don't hear this part, I've already posted, it is already in the NAWC page.
Awesome.
So they will get them to you one way or the other. So, gentlemen, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Nikki? Mm-hmm.
Yes, Brian?
Before we go off the air, I was hoping we could talk just for a second about something that happened on SmackDown tonight.
Ooh, I did forget something, didn't I?
Yes, apparently it's 1994 all over again.
Yeah, but these guys are not clowns. Oh, wait, you're using the Undertaker reference.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I did. You're right. I apologize. I talked about it briefly earlier in the show, but we do need to get into it real quick. Sin Cara and Hunikara, just to differentiate, as Hunikara, playing heel, lost to Daniel Bryan via disqualification after hanging him in the Tree of Woe and kicking his fucking head in a few times. Sorry, had to be said that way.
You're going to get your freaking Accutane.
I've had the honor of this chant. I've actually been a participant in this chant, and that is the funniest chant in the freaking world. So, but I digress. So, Mysticara, or the real Sin Cara, comes back. I was hoping for the little pose down doink kind of thing. I'd seen some spoiler pictures, and that's kind of what I was looking for, but it didn't happen. People claim that the crowd could tell the difference. I had to keep track. And pretty much keep my eyes on the screen.
It was actually pretty easy for me to also tell as well.
Yeah, because
of one major difference, the weight.
Well, yeah, Hunikara is bigger.
Yes, Hunikara is 40 pounds heavier and a few inches taller than Sin Cara.
And like I said, you know, I'm glad we're going this way. There was some doubt with Mystico having his wellness vacation and being in hot water with the brass. And the fact that the announce team didn't continue to talk about the differences in Hunikara, except for the first time he was out there. So,
yeah, well, I remember the commentary, which you probably had muted. Josh Matthews did say that, says, well, there's only one Sin Cara. And Booker T said, well,
There's two of them in there now.
And then Cole, no, I think at this point, this, I did unmute it because Cole made a stupid remark to Booker saying, well, you could see their facial expressions through their masks.
No, no, you can't.
That's why you're wearing a mask.
And that is why I typically keep the audio muted.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Cole, shut up!
It's like that joke about, it's like to paraphrase. You know, I was thinking about this whole thing about Michael Cole, and it just moved me to paraphrase. Has anybody ever seen the Dennis Leary special, No Cure for Cancer?
Nope.
I have not.
Well, he does this rant about how drugs always seem to kill off the really talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but the guys who want to OD never will. Like, you mm-hmm. know, they always attack good people like Lynn Bias or Jimi Hendrix or Jim Morrison. But like Motley Crue will never overdose. You could lock him in a room with 2 tons of crack, they'll come back going, rock on. They're still alive.
Mm-hmm. Not for lack of trying on Nikki Six's part, but go on.
Yeah. So I came up with this. You know, the WWE always releases the talents, releases the announcers that you want to hear commentate. You know, like, you know, guys like Paul Heyman and Joey Styles. But the guys you don't want to hear call the matches are there every week. Like, Michael Cole could get locked in a room with a Bengal tiger that is trained to kill people. He'd walk out with no scratch on him saying, why is there a cat in this room? He's still employed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, to WWE's credit, they set it up so that we can't fire him. But I swear to God, that doesn't mean that Booker T is not allowed to stand up and punch his freaking lights out.
And if Booker T did that, he would always be at the top of my Fave Five. Oh, has anybody been watching that new segment they're doing on .com now called Gag Reel?
I need to.
Well, they open it up with Booker T going, what the...
What the hell?
And then they show him saying, you got to be kidding me, right?
Well, I mean, we even got tonight with, somebody call the police!
Yes!
Because Cole was like, nobody else is going to come out and try to break this up. And he saw all the wrestlers that just got killed by Mark Henry. Somebody got to call the police!
Yeah, well, does anybody else remember when he was in the 7-Eleven with Goldust said, oh, man, no, well, I have to call the police, man.
Unfortunately, the only line I ever remember for that is, can I have a bite of your wiener?
What I remember more than anything, because they pointed it out on Botchamania, was it was like a few weeks after after we got the F out.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing the WWE logo now.
Mm-hmm.
And when Booker was walking around, he was standing in front of a huge Slurpee display that had the WWE superstars on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the Scratch logo in plain sight.
An F logo?
Yes.
Now you're going to make me look for this video.
It's in one of the Botchamanias.
Now, actually, I'll just look up the... I'm going to look up the original because... They didn't dump money. Is that they didn't edit it because they probably didn't notice it until it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's there like a sore thumb. You can't miss it, man.
That is fantastic. All right, gentlemen, I think we've done enough damage tonight.
Yes, we have.
And I appreciate you both stepping up. And Ed, I'm sorry you weren't here tonight. I was hoping mm-hmm. that Jim's cousin was going to jump in because Jim gave him permission to come by since Jim himself had a function early tomorrow morning, just as I have a function early tomorrow morning. Not, you know, not butt crack at dawn early, but early enough that I'm probably going to need to call it very soon.
I gotcha. Well, you go ahead and take care of that. And as they say on the Jim Rome Show, thanks for the line and thanks for the time. It's always a pleasure when I get to talk wrestling with guys like you, and it's always a fun time.
And Josh, thank you for putting up with the show 2 weeks in a row. And yeah. No, you cannot get me back for that intro. I had to.
There will be some way someday that I will get back at you, no matter what you say.
Maybe not today, and maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life.
Did I mention Q was playing a character in the second season?
The second season of what?
Of My Little Pony.
Wait a minute, you're talking Q
John
from
DeLancey.
Bond, right?
I'm talking Q from Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah, John DeLancey.
John DeLancey is actually voicing a character in the second season.
Well, if the bronies aren't crazy yet, that ought to put them over the top.
And if that doesn't... The creators already was having a mark-out moment when she found out this was going down, so...
You know, of all the things to catch on with men of my age... I honestly never would have thought My Little Pony, never in a million years. I mean, I could have got Jim and the Holograms, because for an animated girl, she was cute. I could have got G.I. Joe. Are there that many furries out there that we don't know about yet?
Or, as I should say... Are there that many fans of Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends and Powerpuff Girls out there?
I think that's where most of it came from. People found out
because of Lauren Faust.
Yeah, and the fact that she and her husband, Glenn McCracken,
yes,
are both responsible for some of the best stuff to come out of the original of original work from the Cartoon Network. Not some of the crap they've put out lately, but. And yeah, I don't care if we're still rolling. I've watched the series.
That's
there,
fine.
There are shout outs galore in there. Everything from Looney Tunes to freaking Blazing Saddles.
What?
There's a scene.
Nikki.
Yeah.
Nikki.
Yeah.
Never mind that shit. Here comes Mongo.
Not that scene.
Oh, good.
Not that scene. It's... Okay, the princess is coming. I know what we need to do. We're going to build an exact replica of Ponyville right over there. We've got a minute.
we copied it all down to the last hitching post. Gabby Johnson's right. Reverend!
Mongo,
I still say my favorite scene in that whole picture is when the preacher comes out and he puts his hand on Cleavon Little and says, holds up the Bible, goes, "We must show this man the Christian virtues of love and respect and pew!" Son, you're on your own.
I, you know, it sums up to Mongo just pawn in Game of Life.
Alex Karras,
we miss you, man. Detroit Lion.
You know, he could actually still play for the Lions, probably. That was wrong.
That wasn't very nice.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I gave the show a try, and there is some really goofy crap, and I kind of see what the guys see, and that's the fact that it is intelligently written. It's not the super saccharine nonsense that was even the original 80s cartoon, and even I, as a little girl, would say gag me, because that was just yuck. No.
Now, the show I was always into was The Real Ghostbusters.
Mm.
That was my jam. I watched that, and I actually gave the reason why it was called The Real Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah, there was a TV show in the 70s called Ghostbusters that a company named Filmation.
Yep.
And
right.
when the film came out, they said, "Hey, we still own that copyright," and they rushed out a cartoon based on the original concept called Ghostbusters. And I'm sure, for the first week or two, they had big ratings, and then they fell off.
Well, their version was weird. Then again, I don't even know if I want to see the live action 70s stuff.
Well, it starred Larry Storch and Forrest Tucker from F Troop with a talking gorilla.
Tracy, yeah. And Tracy, when they did the cartoon, Tracy didn't speak. The car was ridiculous, and the villains, I mean, I think somebody was watching Drac Pack when they decided they were going to do this cartoon. And if anybody remembers Drac Pack, I'll give you a gold star.
Sorry, I'm a two Yonaki and yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this was well before the Ghostbusters movie, and probably in between the live-action Ghostbusters series and the Ghostbusters movie. It was go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was essentially a goofy cartoon. The heroes were apparently the son of Dracula, a Frankenstein, and a werewolf.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
And they fought against a group of cartoony villains that were just as horrible as the Ghostbusters villains.
You sense a pattern developing here, I'm sure.
I do, and mm-hmm. Who needs to pick up the phone? I heard something ringing in the background.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
Huh. Not here either.
The thing with what I loved is that the original Ghostbusters was part of... Hold on one second. Sorry about that.
Oh.
The original... No, sorry about that. I had a real quick family thing to do. Was that they had one of my all-time favorite voice artists, Lorenzo Music.
Garfield.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yep.
As the voice of Dr. Venkman.
Yeah.
And Maurice LaMarche as Egon.
Okay.
And I see, that's the Ghostbusters I grew up with. Because
mm-hmm.
some of the jokes in the movie went over my head.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it. And, you know, it's so sad. The Hub is showing G.I. Joe. They're showing Transformers. They just got my sister's favorite cartoon, Jem and the Holograms.
Yay.
Are the rights that expensive? Step up. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that somebody would want to get their hands on it, since there's a bunch of flirting around with making another Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
It's actually all but been confirmed for 2012.
Okay.
The spec script that I saw was it's going to be called The Ghostbusters Go to Hell. Well, that was the original title of it, was Ghostbusters 3, The Ghostbusters Go to Hell. And somehow mm-hmm. they get sent to the bowels of Hades and have to fight their way back to Earth.
And deal with every ghost that they had originally trapped.
Yes.
Okay. Actually, I kind of dig that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, folks, I'd love to stay in chat, but I've got to get out of here.
And we're way off topic anyway, so.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, I can come back onto topic now. Shock.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Because Ethan Musilin has sent me his picks over Skype, or at least the most of them so far. And I'll go ahead and
dictate
them out here before we call it a night.
Yeah, but if you need to go, Brian, go ahead.
Right. All right. For the Intercontinental title match, Rose DiBiase, Ethan picks Ted DiBiase.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. He says, looks like they're ready to give the Ted the ball for a bit.
Well, they could be
all
moving.
Right.
might move Cody up, because after beating Randy, you might have something there. Go on.
Yeah. All right. For the United States title, he says Riley will win.
Blasphemy!
Yes. And his reasoning seems like they're following the Daniel Bryan formula. Be Miz, protege, turn face, beat master, win U.S. title. The bad news is the first two things didn't apply to Daniel Bryan for 1 second. Because he was a face going in, and he wasn't so much a protege.
No, he was saddled with Miz, and that was the joke. That yeah. Bryan was the veteran, and Miz may as well have been the rookie. And half of the pros agreed with that. If you remember remember Punk and Regal making fun of Miz during one of his tirades.
Yeah. By this much. All right. For the tag team titles, Ethan agrees with everyone that's already given me their picks. Air Boom will win.
Mm-hmm.
And he says Austin Truth may win a Survivor Series or a Hell in a Cell, but it's too soon to switch. For the Divas title, Beth Phoenix will win over Kelly Kelly with what should have happened at SummerSlam listed on there.
Right.
For the World Heavyweight title match, he has Mark Henry going over Randy Orton. Expect Christian to interfere and cost Orton the title again, leading to a grudge match at Hell in a Cell. Sadly, I do not have either of his main picks right now because he said to be continued and he hasn't written anything since. So sadly, we'll have to leave off on that. I will get the rest of the picks from Ethan once he writes them up to me, and I will get the rest of the picks from all of you people out there between now and bell time, 8 o'clock p.m. Sunday night. Yes,
Easter.
8 o'clock Eastern, Sunday night.
So
please, get them in to me, and I will deal with them accordingly.
So that'll do it. So, Statboy, I'll let you get some sleep, and I'm going to have to see about getting some sleep myself.
All right. So this is the North American Wrestling Connection, brought to you by WrestleChat.net.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find out any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.